This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm joined today by Dr. Ray Costantini. Dr. Costantini is a fascinating background. He's a physician by background. He's founded three or four different companies. He's now the founder and critically involved in BrightMD. Dr. Costantini, can you give us a little background on yourself, then I'll ask you a number of questions about business, innovation, and so forth.
Sure. The quick version of, I think, the combination of being a physician, working at a large healthcare delivery system, spent about 5 years leading the digital health services group at Providence over on the West Coast, and then entrepreneurship have been a really great combination and helped find opportunities and hopefully fix them in an industry I love. So.
You worked at Providence. Rod Hochman's been the CEO there for a long time. He was a person that was way out in front in terms of innovation and looking at the digital side of healthcare, just innovation generally. Was that helpful at all to perspective that at least there was a positive view of it there versus a negative view, which evolved in different health systems?
Yeah, absolutely. I think being in an organization, a healthcare organization that appreciates and supports innovation, not only did it, it gave a sense of opportunity and helped me realize that healthcare delivery systems are out there that are willing to do things differently. It also gave me a chance to be able to see some of the ways that healthcare could be better. I think being involved in that is definitely formative.
Well, fantastic. And tell us about BrightMD and what you do today. And then at some point, I want to ask you about some of your prior firms that you started and have had great success with. But tell us a little bit about BrightMD.
Sure. So BrightMD is we are a software company, and what we do is we license our software to healthcare delivery systems. And the software really, it's focused on helping to automate the care delivery process, make it much, much more efficient. So we let healthcare delivery systems deliver remote care for their patients with their own providers. And instead of spending 18 to 22 minutes of time per visit, we're making it so that they can deliver higher quality care. And they're doing that in about 60 to 90 seconds of provider time per visit.
Oh, fantastic. And how has it gone so far? When did you start this firm, and how's it going?
It's done remarkably well. We're already implemented and live and seeing great success with health systems across the country, including four of the 10 largest health systems. We're supporting care now in every province of Canada except for Quebec. And we're seeing healthcare delivery systems doing thousands of visits a month with just a fraction of physician or clinician time needed to be able to support that. So it's we're excited.
Do you view Quebec as sort of a lost child if that's the only province of Canada that you're not in?
You know, we actually see the opportunity to be able to help in Quebec as well, but we need somebody who we already support care delivery in both English and Spanish, so we can support, we interview patients in their native language, whether that's English or Spanish. We do real-time translation of that over into a chart-ready SOAP note on the provider side, so that really helps streamline that care delivery process quite a bit. We can do the same thing in French. It's really about the business opportunity and the readiness around it. So we're excited to help in Quebec. It's just not quite time yet.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. What do you spend your time critically doing today? What's the thing you as the founder, you know, this brilliant mind, this innovative mind, what do you spend your time doing today? What's the core of your, you know, what's your core thing you do?
You're setting a high bar. I'm not sure if I'm that brilliant or innovative. I think a lot of credit goes to the team, and that's really where I end up spending my time is a lot of it is finding the right people who are better in their areas than I could be and setting that vision of where we can go and getting those inputs from those folks and then empowering them to be as good in their space as they possibly can be.
Fantastic. In terms of innovation in healthcare and digital transitions, what do you see out there that you think is working versus not working? What's going well? What do you see in the health systems with digital and innovation that's going well?
You know, this is going to sound funny from a company that sometimes, I mean, we got identified as the only leader in the virtual care or telehealth space by Forrester, but I'd say telehealth isn't going particularly well. I think it's an interesting thing in a lot of ways, it's a solution looking for a problem in most places in healthcare. Telehealth solves for the context of healthcare. It makes it so you can get care at a distance, but it doesn't fix the real underlying problems that healthcare is facing. I mean, very few healthcare delivery systems are struggling with geography as a barrier to care as one of their top 10 problems. The big problem that they're facing is actually clinician capacity. We don't have enough provider time to be able to take care of all of the patient needs that we have. And telehealth doesn't help with that. So at a very personal level, I think that's one that we've certainly focused on and helped to address. At a broader level, interoperability is something that I think is an interesting one. We could have a whole conversation about why interoperability hasn't gotten better, but I'd say it's not working nearly as well as it should be, but it's working better than it was. So
let me ask you about provider shortages. You know, as our country grows, as our country ages, and as the number of physicians being minted, coming out of med school, coming out of residency, doesn't grow anywhere near the pace that our country is growing at, and there's already tremendous access problems, particularly around, you know, people say there's tremendous access problems around primary care, but others would argue there's tremendous access problems around specialists. Mm-hmm. What's the solution to this long term? I mean, on either side, how does this go in the longer? Is it just going to be a debacle, or is there some way to improve this?
I think the interesting thing, and I think I'm glad that you said it the same way that I was pointed at it. It's not, we often hear about it as a physician or a clinician shortage. And I have to say, I foundationally disagree with that. It's not that we don't have enough providers. It's that we're wasting where they're spending their time. So as a doc, I can say I personally spent 60 to 70% of my time on pretty mundane administrivia. Order entry and documentation and EHR reviews. And I mean, it takes 37 clicks to order a flu shot inside of any EMR system. That is in an environment where we don't have enough provider time to take care of the patients who we have, that's terrible. So I think, you know, from a primary care perspective in particular, I think one of the things that we can do is we can really unlock that this ocean of provider capacity that we're currently squandering. And I think that that's a key part to it. And I think on a second note, what ends up happening because those primary care providers are so overburdened because of this supply-demand mismatch, I mean, you come in with something that's even a little bit complicated and there's a tendency to be able to refer forward into these capacity-constrained specialists more often than they would need to if they weren't so capacity constrained. So I think that fix in the primary care setting flows downstream and helps in other settings as well.
Fascinating. And let me ask you a different question. It's very popular to say that we just don't have enough primary care physicians and the real shortage is there.
Yeah.
But is it easier to alleviate some of the primary care shortages with other alternatives than to alleviate the specialty shortage? Or is that some thoughts on that?
Sure. Well, let me give you a specific example. So orthopedic surgery. I mean, that's not only procedural, but it's a subspecialty inside of surgery and, you know, relatively limited demand. If you look at where orthopedic surgeons are spending their time, they're all spending more of their time on assessment of acute low back pain which is not something that should have surgery done on it, than they want or that they should be spending. And it's that same reason why they don't want those patients with acute low back pain coming into the ortho clinic. And we need to be able to find better ways to be able to get those patients to where they need to be and get them the care that they need in a really efficient way, so we're not filling them up. Same thing happens. I mean, as an interventional cardiologist was telling me the same thing. He's like, I'm so frustrated because I spend way too much of my time on pre-syncope, and he gives me the air quotes, palpitations. And these are patients who don't have either of those conditions. They're not cardiac patients, but they're filling up his, in this particular case, it was a him, his clinic, so that he can't be caring for the patients that have real cardiac issues and need his attention.
Thank you. And coming back to your current company, BrightMD, how do you work with health systems? How does that, how do you guys work with customers, health systems, whoever it might be?
So we have a software platform that really, think of it like a virtual medical resident. We license this software to healthcare delivery systems, and then their patients go on there when they need care, and our platform goes into the EMR system, pulls out information like meds, allergies, problem list, visit history, uses that information to be able to actually drive this conversational AI platform that interviews the patient for the provider, gathers all that information, and then turns it into all of the information that the provider needs. So we actually write a chart note, a SOAP note for the provider, all the way down to the assessment and plan. We give them evidence-based treatment recommendations right there at their fingertips, instead of having to slog their way through 15 tabs and 80 clicks to be able to do it inside of an EMR. We create billing files. We create personalized patient education materials. And so think of us like a really robust communication platform between patient and provider, but it's not a telephone. It's really a platform that streamlines that process and does much of the work for the provider, letting them get more information and better information from the patients than they would have in other settings.
Well, fantastic. In terms of health systems that want to be more efficient, that want to get better, obviously, you've got a tool that helps everybody do that, and helps to at least extend providers by letting them practice more at the top of their license and not be dealing with so much administrative trivia. What's your best advice for health systems that want to sort of get better as the world gets tougher and they have to get more efficient? What's some of your best advice for leaders in health systems?
I think we as an industry have spent a lot of time being able to focus inward. When healthcare delivery systems have thought about competition, they think about other traditional healthcare delivery systems. They haven't had to focus on new entrant competitors, innovative new competitors. The landscape's changing, and we're seeing the most progressive healthcare delivery systems recognize that if they aren't thinking differently about this, that they're running the risk of being disrupted by Amazon, by Teladoc, by Walgreens, by Walmart. I mean, these are folks that are coming in, and they're looking to pull off that patient volume. And I hear healthcare delivery systems, you want to see a healthcare CFO get really anxious, ask them to envision what it would look like if they lost 2% of their commercial book of business. And that's what's happening. These folks are really, that's where these new entrant competitors are focused. And they got to be thinking differently about this. Bricks and mortar are in our DNA, digital experience less so, but that's something that we think has to change in order for patients to get the care in the places where they will be best served.
No, absolutely. And you say it exactly right. It's so fascinating you talk about this, in that a typical health system might be 46% Medicare, Medicaid, 53%, 54% commercial. And it can be very different based on setting and where they're at. It might be 80% Medicare, Medicaid, 20% commercial. but just the loss of 2 to 4% of the commercial business, the business that Haven Healthcare is trying to peel off, the business that a CVS, a Walgreens, an Amazon, a Walmart is being off, has a huge impact on the bottom line, because disproportionate amount of income and revenues and profit come from that commercial side of it. So your point on, you want to see somebody get nervous, talk about losing 3% of their commercial business, they get very nervous. And I think your point is just brilliantly put, that they've got to get better to avoid that war that they're having anyways and possibly losing some of that business. Fascinating. Dr. Costantini, how do people learn more about BrightMD? I know not a commercial today, but just quickly, how do they find out more about your company and what you guys do?
Yeah, our website's easy. I'm not smart enough for complicated URLs. So you can actually go to bright.md and can find more information about us there. And we've seen quite a few publications out there. You can get access to that Forrester report that I had mentioned earlier. You can contact us. All that's there and available on the website.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's a fascinating sort of intersection you have of being a physician and being a founder of several technology companies now, and where you sit in the middle of this and where you see it. And just fascinating, Dr. Costantini. Thank you so much for visiting with us today. What a great pleasure. Thank you, sir.
A pleasure talking with you as well. Thank you.